Oh, man, what a special day. Juan Epstein is back on iTunes. Finally. Finally, we're back. And I want to say that today's episode, The Return of Juan Epp with Tony Sunshine, is brought to you by our good friends at SeatGeek, okay? Trust and believe. Download that SeatGeek app. Enter the promo code Juan Epp. Trust me, getting tickets is about to get a whole lot easier if you want to go to events. SeatGeek. Let's get into Juan Epp. Hey, good morning, Cypher.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Does this podcast even exist, Peter?
Where did I put my cell phone? That's a very good question, Syph.
Right.
Does this podcast even exist?
Does it exist?
Yes, it does exist. Okay. These will all exist. People maybe now, by the time they're hearing this, listening to it on iTunes.
Okay.
The problem that we had is deep, Syph.
Okay.
Deeper than I realized. Thank you. And the people who were initially working on fixing it, who are great and helpful in some ways, were not helpful when it got to the podcast part of the website problem.
Okay.
So now new people are involved. And I also had to hire a security company.
Wow.
To protect all of this stuff. So I apologize, and I'm thankful to everyone who's been patient, but I guess at some point some of these changes had to happen anyway. But
so apparently, this has nothing to do with anything, but apparently... you think Nori took our site down?
I can't rule it out.
I can't. I won't.
No, and I won't rule it out. He's a man. He's a man who's capable of anything, and he's got his new podcast.
I looked him in the face.
Yeah.
He
saw him last week. Yeah. What'd you say to him?
I looked him in the face and I was like, "Did you hack us?" He's like, "Nah," because then I heard a record he did where he dissed Elliot.
He dissed Elliot on a record.
Yeah,
and he's just making him hotter.
He got a new record with Memphis Bleek.
Right, I saw that. What's the name of that group?
The Plug Brothers.
The Plug Brothers. Thug Brothers. And Plug Brothers.
He dissed Elliot, and I was like, oh, I seen you take a shot at Elliot. And then I was like, did you?
Trying to take out one up.
Did you take down one up? He's like, nah, we fuck with you. You're the originators. Yeah, but.
Still, you want that spot to yourself.
Put that switch back on.
So anyways, God willing, it'll be up very soon. And when it does go back up. From just the SoundCloud to it'll be on the iTunes permanently. All these episodes will pop up. So people will catch the last. We've done two since we've had the problems. And I really like that Vic Mensa episode. Sort of surprised me. Sort of crept up on me.
Yeah.
I love Vic, but I never thought about
him for the
show.
Yeah, I listened to his album. Actually, today it was really good.
He's very, very talented.
Oh, my music game right now.
Oh, you're listening to music now? Really? Congratulations. How's that going?
I'm on another level, yo.
A new level?
Mm. I'm on a new level.
Of listening to music?
Yo, I've been going out every night. I've been playing. I'm back.
Has your wife yet boarded up the house, changed the keys?
No. To the apartment? My wife's cool.
She doesn't mind you going out every night?
Not every night, but a lot. I've been going out a lot.
And what are you doing when you're out?
I'm on my research game.
Research?
So, research.
Are you making an effort to be further in the clubs?
Yeah.
Even more than before?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I haven't been for a while.
Now you're looking to go back?
Yeah.
You know who else is looking to go back and maybe be in these clubs?
T-O-N-Y?
Sunshine.
Yeah.
T-O-N-Y Sunshine.
Yeah.
That's right, because he's here right now.
Yeah.
Tony Sunshine on Juan Epstein. How are you, man?
I'm great, man. I'm in a great space.
Will you somehow try to get even closer to that microphone? Because I'm always loud, and then everyone gets annoyed with me because, like, the guest is quiet, and I'm dumb loud.
Well, you know what I did?
Backed up a little bit?
No.
What?
I set up shop back in 93. That's the only part I know, because I don't know words to songs, but...
But still.
We'll get to it.
Tony, you've been a name, a character in hip-hop who's come up on this podcast many, many times over the years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Very recently in the Fat Joe and Remy episode, but in many episodes before that, your name has come up. You occupy an interesting space in hip-hop. Syph, when was the first time you heard about this Tony Sunshine character?
Jeez. I don't know. I get, you know, early pun days. Were you there? Like, whatever pun was, you was there, right?
I've always been there, yeah.
Like, always?
Always been there.
Like, when pun was first introduced, you was right there.
I was there.
Okay.
We're all from...
Because I don't remember... I know exactly the day I met pun was at the Stretch Armstrong show, which is in that documentary.
Right.
Which is amazing. It was Fat Joe, Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
Some other guy, I forgot his name, that went to jail.
Okay. Sounds possible.
Who's that guy?
You just said to him, do you remember the guy who went to jail? I think there are more.
You are talking about the almighty terror squad.
Yeah, I think there's more than one guy who went to jail. So yeah,
which guy that
Nutty
went to jail?
Nutty or Nippy or...
Who?
Nutty.
Nutty or Nippy or...
His name
Nosey
is Nutty,
or,
and he's 4 years old.
He had a weird name like that, like a name. I don't want to say cute because he's probably a killer. But then, and then Big Dog Punisher.
Oh, I remember Big Dog Punisher.
Yeah.
My favorite rapper.
So from that moment on, we started hearing... We started hearing about Big Pun, and then, you know, I was always in the mix, so Tony had to be there somewhere. I don't remember the exact date, but...
Well, Tony, riddle me this. Before, we're going to go back in time and ask about how you started and how you met Pun. What was the first official record you ever appeared on, or the first time people heard you?
The first official record I appeared on, I think it was... It was on the Naughty by Nature album. I think it was Nature's Fury. I think it was
the
called.
One with Pun. Oh, you saw
and
Nug
it's me
on
and
that.
Pun. It's me, Pun, and Tretch.
Uh-huh.
And it's called We Could Do It. And that was the
we
first.
We could do it in the middle of the night.
So we can do it on the beach in the sunlight. We could do it anywhere that you like, girl. Let you do it.
Yeah, I remember. So that was the first time you got on record. How did that? Okay, you know what, Scythe, let's go back. I just wanted to know the first one. We should go back now, though.
Yeah, go back.
Let's go back. So where does the Tony Sunshine story begin? And when did you first start getting involved with this rap and R&B and music thing?
I've been singing since I was a kid. I think that my mother discovered that I could sing when I was like 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I used to sing a lot of Menudo songs.
Of course.
You know what they have, but that's what I used to sing as a
kid. Man, I know
who
Menudo is. I couldn't name one song.
Sorry.
Disrespectful.
In my home on Sundays.
Which is the Bronx?
Yeah, in the Bronx.
Where are you from in the Bronx?
I'm from a lot of places in the Bronx.
Oh, move around
a lot. That's another story, though.
That's like my mom.
Yeah,
Bronx gypsy.
There you go. You know, but wherever we were at on a Sunday, it was the cleaning day, and the Spanish music would come on. And so, you know, I would mimic them and the Imael Mirandas and the Eddie Santiago's and the Rafi Sabater. So I started, you know, singing Spanish music. From like 7, 8, 9, I sang with Celia Cruz, Tito Puente, Eddie Santiago at the 4th of July, Spanish Harlem festivals and things like that.
Oh, wow.
But about 2 or 3 years later, my mom again cleaning out the house.
Mm-hmm.
There was a milk crate with some A-tracks, and I started listening to them A-tracks, and I discovered Patti LaBelle and Lionel Richie and the Commodores and, you know, R&B music and that real soulful type music. And so I fell in love with that, and there was a rap for the Spanish music. I just didn't want to do that anymore. And I think when I was like 12, 13, about that age, Joe was coming out with the Represent album. We did Flo Joe and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we was amazing. Both in the same neighborhood, and we had a mutual friend. And I kind of asked that friend, like, yo, what I need to do? I want to sing. And he was like, well, you know, go talk to him.
Wait, when you were 14?
I was like 13, 14.
And FloJo, the FloJo era.
The FloJo era.
Diamond D.
Watch the
Diamond
Sound.
Diamond D, Showbiz, Watch the Sound, right. Nice. In that era, if you look back, I'm in the Shit Is Real video.
No.
I'm the kid that gets robbed, by the way.
No, you're not.
I was about 12, 13.
Hold
yeah, I got
on.
The road
no,
chain.
No, you're not.
I'm the kid with the road
so
chain and the
Joe
dollar
first?
Sign. Let me get to this.
Okay, we're gonna get that. But oh, that's
visit
crazy.
My aunt and stuck up my cuz. Is that you?
Yeah, that's me. I'm the cuz.
You're the cuz who
up.
Got stuck up. Yeah. Oh, shit is real.
Yeah.
He's like Lil Bow Wow on the Gin and Juice video.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So I built the courage up to step to Joe. I stepped to Joe. I told him, listen, I sing. He said, sing something for me. I instantly sang something for him. And the next day, we was both in his black MPV going to Relativity, and I started riding out with him. And you know, I think I even went to the Fever and hyped him up on one of his first shows.
At 15 years
you
old.
You know, yeah, 13, 14 years old.
What, in and, the Fever? In that fire trap?
Yeah. Yeah, I got in there. So, you know, we went to Video Music Box. I think I sang live on Video Music Box back then. And
really?
And, he took me to see High Five. That's another story, though. Cause I was on.
Apollo,
I thought that's what I needed to do. So I kicked my feet up on the table. I think I even lit a cigarette.
The whole nine.
What was on my mind, you know? And I think at that age,
sorry,
Cypher.
That's disrespectful.
Hello. I think at that age, my mom was like, you know, I was so excited that I told her the story and how I think. you know, I was acting, and she was like, that's it. So I think I had to wait like 2 years before I could come outside again. So by the time I came outside, Pun was already coming on the scene. His name wasn't Pun yet.
Mm.
It, we used to call him Moondog. And, you know, all I know is we used to see this big guy in the basketball court shooting hoops and playing ball like a skinny dude and running around. And, you know, and we didn't even know he knew how to rap yet. Like, we used to beat on the mailboxes and everybody join the cypher and rap, and Pun would just be sitting there, like, just listening. And one day he was like, man, y'all niggas, y'all dudes don't get tired of spitting the same rhymes. I'm going to go home. I'm going to write a rhyme. And when I come back, I'm going to kill y'all. And it was just like that. He went home, wrote a
and
rhyme.
And at the time, he's just a guy who you
he's
didn't.
Chris. He's Chris.
But a dude you didn't know well.
He was, no, no. We,
by that
I mean,
time, you did.
That happened over 3 or 4 year span, you
got
know,
it.
And he used to joke around, but he never took it that serious. That one time he said, yo, and he went home and he wrote a rhyme, and I think that 10 years later he spit that same rhyme. Cannibalism is living in my metabolism, giving them spasm. He wrote that. That was his first, well, that I think that was actually his second rhyme, but that was the rhyme that he really took serious.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So
that's crazy.
But yeah, I knew Joe before I knew Pun, and you know, I was actually one of the first guys to be riding out with Joe and going to Relativity when it was still up before it became Loud and things like that. So I've been around for quite a minute.
And so then how did the you and Pun relationship start to develop? Did you right away realize how good he was?
I was already hanging out with Pun before him and Joe were introduced. You know, we all, like, me and Joe come from Forest, and then, you know, Cuban was hanging out with Pun a lot when his name was still Felix, and, you know, they came from the ranch area, which was, like, maybe a block and a half away. And so everybody had to share that one park called 23 Park, and everybody would get together, and all the guys that like music would join the cypher and beat on the tables and things like that.
When you came out, when your mom locked you up for 2 years, and you came back out of the house, you didn't go back hanging with Fat Joe?
Yeah, I believe so. We all, you know, it was a neighborhood. It was a neighborhood
yeah,
thing.
Around, yeah.
Everybody
sometimes.
Was just, everybody hung out with everybody. And, yeah. you know, that's just what it was. The crew was the crew. It was the hood. You know what I mean? Everybody was just coming up.
And are you singing, like, talent shows or making demos?
Back
or?
Then?
Yeah.
No.
No.
No, we, you know, everybody would just, it was just a dream for everybody. You know what I mean? Joe yeah. was doing this thing, and I think that then, by that time, Pun, Cuban, Sace, and them, they had formed a crew called Full Eclipse, and I was the only mm-hmm. singer that would ride out with them and go yeah. to shows and, you know, come out and sing a cappella and woo the crowd, and then they yeah. would rhyme again. So, you know, I guess you could kind of say I was a part of that Full Eclipse thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that crew wasn't fully together.
Right.
Like, Terror right. Squad eventually became.
Right.
You know, it was like the right. early crew.
Well, it was Fat Joe the Gangster. Mm-hmm. Terror Squad was the Street Family, the goons, the, okay. you know, the guys that would come
so
out.
So it already right. was. That already existed as a street thing.
Well, Terror Squad has always existed, I think, since, you know, the late 80s.
Got it.
You know what I mean? The late Great Giz, you know, Cosmo, Revenge, Power, these are guys that, you know, used to tag up and break dance. And, you know, it was a football team at one point. And Joe was a part of all that. You know, I'm not excluding them. I'm just saying that Terror Squad has always been. And then, you know, we all from the same neighborhood. So you have Terror Squad members that became police officers and firemen. And not everybody are goons, you know.
But
some
right.
of us, some of them, excuse me, and us as well. I mean, I just don't want to say we went to jail, but. You know, some of the guys went to prison, some of the guys became professionals, but it was above all a team effort. Everybody played a part, you know, in building nice. The Terror Squad legacy, whether it was the streets or music or the choosing a professional craft.
Wow, okay. So at this point, as Pun starts to sort of like develop, where are you at? Are you sitting there kind of like if you were around since the age of 13, 14, 15, were you the whole time trying to get a shot, or are you just absorbing, kind of learning and waiting for like it to make sense?
I think my upbringing, right? I have siblings, but I'm the only boy. So I think that I always wanted to be a part of something back then. So I just kind of played my position and observed and acknowledged the OGs and just, you know, wanted to be that one day. So I kind of played my position. You know what I mean? And I wasn't really, like, pushing for it. So Pun was actually, like, you know, Pun was always fond of my talent, and he wanted to be a singer himself. I don't think people know that.
Oh, we know.
Like, he actually wanted to sing. You know, so Pun always would, like, he was so fond that we would, like, bump into, like, Next when they were hot, or Joe the R&B singer, or God forbid we would have bumped into R. Kelly back then. He'd have been like, my guy's better than you. Battle right now.
Why, he used to always tell you that?
All the time, he would put me on the spot in front of other R&B singers. Like, you know, we would bump into the CEOs, like, you know, just, let's just say Donny Einer, or and be like, sing right now. My guy's better than whoever you have signed. I put my money on it right now. And I would be like, yo, but that's how fond he was. You know, so, yeah, I was Joe's guy first, and that's where I come from, you know, but Pun actually pushed the button and was like, yo, you know, this is my guy, this is who he is, and this is what's going to happen. And it was like an overnight thing. They asked him one day, yo, what's next for you? And he was like, well, you know, my little brother, Tony Sunshine, we were about to, and that's just how it went. You know, he kind of like was like.
Were you not even sure about that until he said it?
Sure about what?
Like, did you know that you were he was going to try to make you next, or you didn't realize it officially until?
Well, we had spoke about it, and he would always put the pressure for me to sing in front of people, and he would always tell me, yo, I love the way you sing, just sing to me. He would say funny shit like, yo, sing me to sleep, sing me awake, you know, like shit like that. So I always knew he had a unconditional love for my talent, and one day he would do something. I didn't think that it was going to happen so fast, because he was just getting started with his career and his shit, you know, but he just wanted to see me do me. He just wanted to see me shine, and I think a lot of people used to be upset at him for that.
What, that he was Why? Interested in you?
Because when Terror Squad was formulated as a rap group, I was kind of gone for like a year and a half, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you had your prospect, you had Sage, you had Getty, you had Cuban, and then here comes Tony Sunshine. I'm different.
Not a rapper.
I'm not a rapper. I'm different. At the time, you know, I was...
Is that you getting stuck up in this
picture?
Yeah,
there you
here?
Go. Yes, I am.
You found the spot?
Hilarious. You see that there? But you see, I'm getting stuck up, but I still got the rope chain. I got I got the sheepskin, the matching hat. You know what I mean? You know?
So, yeah, so the rappers are feeling some kind of way.
So but what was your relationship like with the other guys?
My relationship was good. I didn't have no issues, no problems.
Who were you closest with after Pun?
I was close with everybody, man. I'm the baby. Like, I'm the actual baby of the whole team. Like, they watch me.
Well, you were
me.
Always the youngest of all.
I've always been the youngest. I remain the youngest.
Yeah, I guess.
So they
I
watch
guess that
me.
Would all stay the same.
Right.
I'm the one who said that. I was like, So they always treated you like that and looked out, or at least at the beginning.
Who looked out?
Other members.
What do you mean?
The other members.
This was every man for himself. Always. Let's get that clear.
So y'all had love for each other.
No, we had love. I have love. Unfortunately, just with the things that I'm trying to do and accomplish and the new me that I'm trying to introduce, I just have to stay away from negativity, because I have the potential to lose my mind sometimes. And people think I'm crazy for it. I'm not crazy. I'm just a passionate individual who just wants to be left alone. And I want to make great music. You know?
Yeah, well, that's something I've heard you indicate from when we talked and when you were at Hot 97, the conversation about you love hard and you rep for people. Because, I mean, the way it's come up in conversations previously on One App is that it's possible that should someone do something out of pocket, Tony Sunshine would react. Would you say, Syf, that's something that's been said?
I think that Cypher's been around me quite a few times, and I think that he's even witnessed me lose my temper a little
Syf?
Bit.
I've seen reactions.
You've seen reactions right. before?
Seen reactions.
But let me say this. Tony Sunshine has never really had an official beef of his own. My beef has always been somebody else's beef, because he's my man and I love hard.
Okay.
Can anybody say that they have a direct issue with Tony Sunshine, a direct beef, or it was somebody else's beef, and Tony Sunshine put himself there because that's my brother, that's my man, and you're not going to play him, and if you're playing him, you're playing me because I'm a representative of that team, that situation.
Even throughout the whole TS thing, I mean, your name was not a name I heard thrown around in terms of problems. That's not.
Right.
We all know the history between Joe and Cuban. That's a,
right.
kind of a known
That's,
thing.
You know,
that you've never. I've never heard.
I wasn't there that night as well. So
we were to get to that. So you weren't even there for that night.
No, sir. I was in the studio working.
Because that seemed like one. You had left, I think, at that point, Sife, when I did the one ep with Joe and Remy.
Yeah, I love you.
That doesn't seem like one that's getting resolved.
I wish I didn't even. I don't even know the whole story.
I don't really know the whole story either. So is the Naughty record the first time you ever actually sat? You actually recorded something for
that
real?
That was my first professional debut, like ever being in the booth, ever looking at what the mic stand in the booth looks like, and you know, I was just like,
KG there? Was KG,
KG
like
was there, Tretch was there.
Like, did he help you with the vocals? Because you never recorded, you didn't
know. No, actually, that's the first time I met Cliff Lighty, which is Chris Lighty's cousin, mm-hmm. which it was a writer, part of the Clutch, and, you know, he wrote, that's the guy that sings, I need a runaway,
no.
around the, that's
one
the one.
One Ep Gem. One Ep Gem.
That's who sings on Around the Way, Girl?
Cliff Lighty. His name is Cliff Lighty. He's written a numerous amount of Jaheim hit records. He's written for a numerous amount of different people.
Cliff Lighty.
And he actually helped me with my vocals because I was a little like, you know, I'm.
Well, if you're a good singer and you sing out in the street, it's just one. You're just singing your one. I don't know what you call it. One track or one, like, it's just your one voice.
Right.
When you go in the studio to record, especially when you're doing a hook. You
layers.
Gotta sing it multiple times. They layer it. They stack it.
That's something. I love the creative part of being in the studio. So I use like 100 tracks.
But that's what I'm saying. You didn't.
I mean, not on my main.
That
the main my
the
soul,
first time.
My the main vocal is a solo track, but the harmonies and everything. And when you mute the music and you hear the oohs and ahs, is like the kid can sing.
Yeah,
and that's important for me because when you get on stage, you gotta show and prove, right?
Yeah,
Cliff,
I mean, that's what
Lighty.
That was a gem.
I've heard of Chris Lighty.
Cliff,
I've heard
Lighty,
of Dave Lighty.
That's his cousin.
I've heard of Mike Lighty. I've never heard of the so-called Cliff Lighty.
Cliff Lighty, yeah.
Yes. That One of gems.
That is very, very interesting.
You ain't got that on your podcast, Nori, you piece of shit.
So that's the first time ever. How did Pun finesse you on the song, though, by the way? Like, did they just fuck with you? How'd that happen? Because pretty random.
Pun, you know, if you actually listen to the record, number one, I think it was Friendly Fire, but they kind of, like, threw a subliminal shot at each other.
Very
so
possible.
So your man
Tretch and Pun?
When Pun, he said, when Pun grab her ass, watch her grab his gut. Because when I pop my, watch her, some crazy shit, but he said, I've been platinum, but no more sleeping on Latin rapping. But if you pay attention to how he said it and he delivered it, they was like, kind of like, so Pun came in with the, it's me, Big P, the bachelor. You seek a garden, need a weed a whacker. All I need is my gat, my black Cleopatra. But they was like, you got to really listen to the record and see how they was like, it was dope. It was dope.
Were you the friendly fire between Pun and Tretch?
Yeah.
But they were fans of each other.
They was
right,
fans
but
of
they
each
was
other.
There.
No,
at that
they,
moment,
it
was just, they was in the game. Like,
you know, when Pun said he secretively battled you, he wasn't lying. Like, the My Dick record really wasn't a record that I wanted to do. You know, I loved the record because he said it to me. He said, there's a record that everybody's going to sing. Fuck it. Write the record about your dick. I said, all right, cool. I'll do it. I wrote the record about my dick. I went home, came back the next day to hear the record in the studio. Pun had laid his verse, and he said, you're a nasty fuck making a song talking about your nuts. And I'm looking at him like, he said, they're going to love it, twin. They love it. You know? Like, that was the type of dude Pun was. So I think that anybody and everybody that he recorded with, he took a subliminal shot at, if you pay attention.
I've gotten that vibe from him before. Now, people also always talk about, like, you know, Pun as the jokester.
Oh man, that's what we do. I'm you gotta watch me too sometimes. When it comes to the jokes and the playing games, and I think that Pun and I created that water game when you sleep.
What, putting someone's hand in the water?
No, when you're sleeping in your hotel room, nice and you feel safe, and you know Pun is the main guy on the bill, so the rooms are all under his name, so he has all the keys to every room. The AC is full blast, so you can't hear. Pun, as big as he was, he moved so quiet and so funny, so I think that we made more noise than him trying to stay quiet with the laughter. But Pun would have us fill up a whole garbage can, like get the garbage can from the hallway that everybody's throwing all the garbage in. Let's clean it out, fill it halfway with ice, half with water, and we're going in the room and we're going in. So when you sleep, and so I don't want to say this guy's name, he was one of the guys that was close to us, and this guy is sleeping in his bed, AC full blast. The funny part is that he was butt ass naked under his sheets. So Pun is saying, you know, calculate, he's breathing. Okay, one, two, okay, three. So when he breathes in, Pun is like catching, but I mean the whole bucket of water, like a football player bucket of water.
Oh my God.
So this guy gets up, we splash him with the water. This guy gets up, he was still sleeping. Like his brain was still sleeping, but his body got up. He gets up, he runs sideways, bangs into the wall. Boom, smacks that wall. Runs sideways, bangs into the boom, bangs into the other wall. Falls on the floor, he's jumping. I'm saying, yo, Pun is saying, you killed him. You killed him. I killed him. You killed him, twin. This guy is crazy.
That's what it always seemed like. Now, did you, I always ask this question. I got to be honest. I don't ever feel like I get the answer that I'm looking for, and I don't know what that answer is, right? But, you know, Pun's my favorite rapper of all time. I say it all the time. And, you know, in studying his life as the best I can, reading, seeing the documentaries, trying to figure it out, you know the story of him getting money, winning the settlement, and gaining weight, okay? However, there's a piece of the story that is lost, which is that getting the money is only a little piece of the puzzle to eventually weighing, you know, when he passed away, 698 pounds, right? Did you see anything within him that gave you any indication of how he could get to that place? Because there has to be a mental health component to it as well.
I don't...
Of course.
Right. But no one talks about it. They're just like, oh, he got big. And I'm like, no, he would, if a regular person saw Big Pun, it's the biggest guy they've ever seen.
I don't want to tell the story the wrong way. I think that, you know, I might have some missing pieces to the story, but Pun did have an accident when he was a kid. He had an ankle injury.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, he had an operation on his ankle, and they also gave him some medications or something like that that were like some type of steroid for his ankle and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of like took its toll throughout the years. Because Pun used to box, he used to work out.
Mm-hmm.
He used to go to the Hunts Point Market and unload and load trucks and... You know, as a kid, as a young, you know, to make ends meet. I think that when he finally won the lawsuit, the settlement, he moved to Miami. You know, he got a crib and he did what he was doing. He stopped his working out habits and things like that and continued to eat and started eating good.
Wait, what's the settlement thing? I don't know that.
He hurt himself on someone's property and won a lawsuit for it.
Way he was before, Pun?
Mm-hmm.
Before he was Pun. So okay. You know, he had a couple of dollars of play.
That was the beginning of the. That was like the beginning of the weight gain.
Okay, so I get the first run.
Yes, I get that part. But what I try to understand is, okay, so you get to 300 pounds. I need to understand. You know, like something else then happens that allows you to get so far.
I think it's called the thyroid problem.
So you think?
I think at a certain point, I went with him to North Carolina.
Oh, when he lost 100
pounds? I was there. I was part of that. You know, I was part of that, too. So him and Steve Rifkin made a bet, and Pun loved it. You know, like, don't bet Pun. When it comes to money, betting, shooting dice, this, that. Pun was a gambler. He loved it. So I think it was $1,000 a pound. Pun was like, you're on, you know? And he lost 150 pounds. It wasn't 100, but when we recorded that record, because I'm originally 100. Singing on that record before they threw It's So Hard.
Donnell Jones.
Donnell. Yeah.
Before they threw Donnell Jones, I'm actually doing all the background vocals on that record. So, you know.
Still.
They said that I was on too many Pun records. I think Pun would have flipped his wig if he was alive. Like, mm-hmm. you know. But they took me off some of the records.
Wait. So are you saying that when Pun passed, the record was still just you?
Yeah. So when Pun passed away, they made a political move and said that, you know, since Donnell Jones was popping, they think that, you know.
And don't get me wrong, he did a nice job on the record, but that's weird.
They're good.
Because you ended up on three records on the album.
Right.
On My Dick, 100%, and Laughing At You.
100%. That record is awesome.
100%. We got quite a few still floating around, like the terrible. Hey Mama.
Mama, I've been saying that all day. You didn't hear that when you came to the station. I got in my head all day, and I keep saying, Ahora, Tom, blah, blah, blah. That's a record people don't even know, by the way. That's
They don't know it.
That record is...
They don't know it.
And by the way...
You guys ever heard Loco Bananas?
Loco. Loco Bananas. I know every Pun record.
Well, you're not on the crazy. First album.
Are you on the first album?
Oh, you were away.
Yeah.
Vacation?
Yeah.
You went to Tampa, Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah.
No, that's nice. A little swimming?
Yeah, I was in the woods.
Volleyball, a little woods time?
Little wood action.
Okay. So
no rainbows.
So you came back and it was the Naughty record. What was the next thing after the Naughty record? Was it right to the album? Let me see what's on your appearances list here.
Wait, first album was out
already?
No,
it took me about six years before I signed my first deal. I signed my first that we did that record. The Capital Punishment album was already out. We did that because Pun was just started doing that album and running around and promoing shows and promoting, and he was eating off of that, and then that's when he started doing all the features.
So you were around... You was around to when the Capital Punishment album came out. You was on the road and stuff. Just weren't there for the recording of it.
I wasn't there for the recording.
But you still got to see the effects of what that album was.
Of course.
Got you.
All right, let's stop right there for 1 second, guys. We're so excited to be back. And if you are listening to this on SoundCloud, please subscribe on iTunes, because I'm not going to stay on SoundCloud after everything that happened with them and them booting me off. So please subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever works for you. But I got to give the biggest shout out to our friends at SeatGeek. For so long, the process of buying tickets to like sports and concerts, it's been confusing and annoying, and it's hard to find a good deal. You always feel like you're getting ripped off, but hold on. SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for you to buy tickets to whatever event you're wanting to go to. So, you know, honestly, for the things that I'm into, you'd think I get into everything for free, but because of music, but there's a lot of other stuff I want to go to, and I don't get tickets. And guess what I use? SeatGeek. It's amazing. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. Matter of fact, I just used it the other day because we didn't get the hookup on these Kanye St. Pablo tickets. So I use the SeatGeek app. It's amazing. They do the price comparison for you by searching every ticket site out there and ensuring that you get the best possible deal anywhere. SeatGeek does all the work. You just sit there and get the tickets. And they want to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value, all right? So you'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals to fit your budget, okay? And the One App listeners are getting a $20 rebate right now off their first SeatGeek purchase. So if you're trying to do Kanye or Rihanna, wherever you are, you're trying to hit a show that you just need to see, a lot of festivals coming up, get the $20 rebate by getting the SeatGeek app right now, okay? Go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, okay? When you get the SeatGeek app, you go to the settings tab, you click that, add a promo code, and enter the code WANEP, all right? They will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code WANEP today. It's fucked up. Your Discog shit is wrong, by the way. Albums, they have you on Mama. They don't have you on fucking... On Yeah Baby, which is very strange.
Yeah.
So you didn't do any other things like the Naughty record, like any of those tons of Pun features?
No.
Do you, how well do you know all the Random Pun features? You know them pretty well?
I would believe so. I had to perform the motherfuckers with them on stage.
So you also...
But I think I got... My brain is overloaded with the pun shit, so I would have to sit here and go through my mental Rolodex. If you asked me right now,
yeah, he's
spit
got
this
many.
Verse, I would be like...
But if I started spitting it, you could remember it.
I think I could go with
it. How crazy is the Lifestyle Espinoza? T.S. Frozen with the Fresh Jehovah. The fucking... His verse...
I gotta go through my mental roller.
His verse on
Fresh
the next
Espinoza
record is...
Chest froze up with the Fresh Jehovah.
Something like Lex Luger. Me, Nex, and Cuban used to pull up in Justin Nova. Now the stretch Range Rover got an extra sofa. You was always there and had my back. Even before I was the first Latin rapper to come home with a platinum plaque. He was crazy. That's what I'm obsessed with about.
What's your favorite pun rhyme though? Like, what's your favorite? Because I have 1,000 favorites, but I have one that just stands out for me because I think he painted that picture so vivid. And my thing is, and this is what I say, I don't know nobody else's opinion, but when I listen to this, I think my brother knew what was about to come.
Oh, so
but this is just me.
So you think it's on this? So it's on the second album?
It's on the second album. No, it's on the Terror Squad album.
It's on the Terror Squad album.
It's on the Terror Squad album.
It's not whatchamacallit. It's not In For Life.
It's just, it's not the beat.
It's not Glamour Life.
It's not
Life.
The hook. It's just his verse. No,
What you gonna
it's
do?
It's a solo.
What you gonna do? Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. His first verse.
That's a hot record.
Can you say the words? I don't really actually, do you know how
he
to say the words?
It's hard to explain how my squad got hard, but it's strained. And being the largest name in rap since the almighty Kane. Acknowledged the fame, my college terrain was the rugged streets of Harlem and Queens, back to the Bronx, which fathered the dream. And started this thing called rap where I reign supreme. My team, regardless of that, I seen things in forests with crack that'll make the largest artist's hardest heart just collapse. I'm part of all that. That's why it's so hard to go back and start it from scratch. I'm locked and I'm trapped in a giant cage, trying to save at least a few dying days. In the form of flesh, I'll lie down, lie in my grave. I'm trying to persuade my mind to be brave and not give death the satisfaction of seeing me dying afraid.
You're right. That whole thing's about death.
I'm locked in, I'm trapped in a giant cage, trying to persuade my mind to be brave and not give death the satisfaction of seeing me dying afraid.
That's crazy.
Coming back like I'm singing church, like I was Jesus Christ. What the? Yo, I gotta tell you, I never understood half of that verse until you just said it. Did you, And if to answer your question, I mean, it's generic, but I love his super lyrical verse.
Right.
Because he took trying to best Black Thought, which he did.
Like, he loved Black Thought.
I know,
bro.
So he took it serious. That's how you know, that's how I knew he took it serious. Right? So he came correct. And also, I love the fucking storytelling verse on Capital Punishment, the one about the heist.
Oh,
that whole shit is crazy.
You know what?
Move your fat ass, motherfucker, they gaining. Yeah,
that's
just crazy.
I think that record, I got to be honest, I don't even know the words that well because
me
I
neither.
Listen to it too much. I pay attention to it because I want to hear the story. I don't want to learn the words.
No,
I
want
to
hear the story.
I want to hear the story. Like, move your fat ass motherfucker, they gaining.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
So the second album is when you were able to really be involved. Talk about the process of that because it's a weird time. I mean, he ends up passing away.
Right.
Basically at the end of recording the album. I mean, it just ended, right? Or they went on. They took a little break to go to the hotel.
We recorded that album in North Carolina while he was losing those 150.
What was in North Carolina? Like a camp
center,
or something?
Yeah, at Duke University or something.
Duke
right?
University. Oh. That's where the football players go to get in shape, right. And they
but
give them
like
the right foods
real,
and put them
right.
to work out
like
and things like that. So
and like,
we would be in the pool. We would be in the pool every day, and Pun would be doing his exercises and doing what he had
but
to. And
other people
right.
go there. Or it was.
Yeah, were there other people there trying to lose weight too, or is it just him?
Pun was the type of dude that, you know, he didn't want to, like, be a circus. You know what I'm saying? And not to say it to sound funny, but people loved his lyrical ability and they loved him for who he was, but then they would stop and stare and, you
right,
know,
right,
little
right.
comments here and there. And Pun wasn't with that.
Yo,
we all
I
know
swear
Pun wasn't with
I,
that.
I mean, I can't tell you how much I love Pun, but I hated when y'all came out in the tunnel. And the show was going for like 20, 30 minutes.
And we had to get the chair for him.
And he's leaning against the pole, and they got the chair. I was like, ah, man.
How early? This is when he's scorching? Like,
yeah, this is like dead in the middle a little. Italy.
When Capital Punishment's out.
Yeah.
And did that become a regular? Let's talk about the shows then first, actually. Right. So you started hyping for him in the shows.
Right.
And why was it always you? Like, why you?
No, you think you
might have a rap or more of a rapper do it than a singer do it?
I think that he started bringing me out to do my little R&B set, my little acapella thing. You know, he would bring me out just to showcase me and kind of like solidify me as an R&B singer and things like that.
What would you sing? Like at the early stages when people didn't know you yet, do you remember what you'd sing?
Back then, we would put on like a quick little show, like my man would beatbox and I would come in and do some witty, some freestyles, and then Pun would be like, "Yo, sing something in Spanish for them," and I would R&B it out, but in Spanish, and we would have people that didn't even know Spanish getting out their seat and bugging out, and you know, so it wasn't until I think it was a day he needed a hype man, you know, and I think that I just did what I do, and that's it. From there on in, I was not only, you know, one of his acts at the show and his artist, I was his hype man as well.
How tough was performing for him? Was he able to enjoy it, or was it difficult because of the physical aspect of it?
I think Pun had a lot of fun, man. I think that he was a strong-minded, the strong-willed dude, and he tried hard not to let his weight put a crutch on him. Like, he moved around like a regular dude, and he wanted to do regular things, and even if he couldn't do it, you know, he would buy a motorcycle just to see his man do it because that was fun for him. You know what I'm saying?
Even if he got too big to ride a motorcycle?
Even if he got too big to have, he died. He had like 15 of them. He couldn't ride any, but he made sure that the crew looked good. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I was saying earlier that a lot of dudes started getting upset because when I came back on the scene and things like that, and my talent and Pun, I didn't, you know, not to say that I was spoiled because I had to work for some things, but Pun made sure that I looked great and gave me everything I wanted and needed, and people used to be, "Oh, but let him work." Don't worry about that. That's my guy, you know, and he spoiled me because he loved me, and people used to get upset at that. You know?
You're also a great, let's be honest. Well, I can't decide if you're a great, what's the word I'm looking for? What's it called when you're at the bar and you're trying to talk to
wingman.
Chicks?
Wingman.
I can't decide if you'd be a good wingman because the girls would go
I am the best.
Yeah, but I mean, well, now you are. Now you're a great wingman because you're married. But in those days, I'm guessing you'd be a pain in the ass as a wingman. But no, but I do imagine a guy.
Why a pain in the ass?
Because the girls are going to come to you.
But why?
Because I know that girls find you attractive. I've been hearing that my whole life.
Only because I'm Tony Sunshine.
Well, so, but I'm saying Paul must have liked that. Like,
No.
What do you mean?
No. Listen, I don't know how to judge men, but you're a good looking guy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
thank you very
girls
much.
Went to Big
No, there's
Big
nothing
Pun
wrong. There's
because he was Big Pun.
Right.
And they went to you because you were that fucking good looking guy.
they were like, and who the fuck is that
I
guy?
I was killing them back then.
Of course you were.
I was killing them.
So, but it's actually, but it makes a, it's a good, the thing is, and like Sypha and I both know this because actually Sypha and I both have, or they're not our assistants anymore. Well, Mike's still my assistant. Drewski's just Drewski. But we had guys who are our assistants who women both loved.
Oh, yeah.
And there is an upside to it, right? Especially if you're not really looking, but it creates fun eye candy to be around because they like the guy who's with you.
Right.
So you must have also, you don't necessarily need another rap dude around you. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of nice to have a dude who appeals to women because Pun was such a rapper's rapper.
Right.
Even though women ended up loving him because he had still not a player
they
and it was
him.
Such a smash.
They
so how
him.
Much truth is there to that, to women really loving Pun? Like they
loved him, like, oh, yeah. for real, like, you know, like we would put Pun's chair. Like, I remember being in the China Club.
Yeah.
And
I think
we got Pun's chair and we put it in the middle of the dance floor. And within seconds, we're not in the strip joint. We're not in a go-go club. And within seconds, these girls were getting butt-ass naked. But I mean, dancing in front of him butt naked. And I'm looking at him like, "Yo, what's going on, Twin?" He was like,
I seen girls chase after him, yo.
Lose. I'm talking about, because I swear to my kids, numerous women butt naked right in front of him going crazy, like crying, like naked. Yeah.
I mean, listen. I as much as I, it sounds weird to say, I get it, right? He's my favorite rapper of all time. I can see why people would be obsessed with the guy. But to the person who doesn't necessarily understand, it's like, to think that a guy who was his size would make women still go crazy is an interesting thing.
Mad funny, right? And then, like, we
his
know
charisma was crazy.
I know, that's what I know.
Personality,
you
seen
when
crazy.
He was a slim dude, he was
a good-looking guy, when he was thin.
But we have... Yeah, he was always a good-looking guy inside. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. It was like, still there.
Yeah, even though he gained weight, he still like had that essence.
Right, right. Of a guy who was good-looking.
But
right.
we love Pun for like the ill lyrics. Fire water. You know what I'm saying? Like, ill shit. Why we love Pun. But he made some big hits, right? So then, like, you're like, you know, I mean, I'm not going to get all deep into it, but you're Puerto Rican or Latino from New York, and you love hip-hop, and then Fat Joe comes out, and he's great, but then Pun comes out, and he's, like, the best, where even your... Fat Joe's your favorite rapper, if you're Puerto Rican, and you're trying to find your favorite Puerto Rican rapper. And Fat Joe's like, this guy's the best.
Right, Fat Joe anoints him the best.
So then, like... The girl... I didn't... You know, I was on the road a couple times with them, but in New York, like, girls were going... Crazy, yo.
What were you gonna say, Tony? It looks like you wanted to say something.
No, I'm listening.
Okay.
I'm listening. I forgot
what
you
saw. What I saw. He showed something. I don't know what it was. I tried to get it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I get that. It's just that's so interesting to hear about. And I love hearing all these stories. Tony, so you
I can't get none.
What? Pussy?
Yeah.
I know. Well, guess
it's
what?
Worse.
Because even at your thinnest, you're kind of a schlub.
I know.
Guy. Cut it out, guy. I seen you with some joints.
No. I'm not saying I never had Puerto Rico.
We've been some places. I seen you with some joints,
I'm not
baby.
Saying
and
I
also,
never
what happened?
Because
when Pun wanted to get you to join in on the Triz, Sy, if you didn't even want to jump in.
Oh, son.
What about that story?
DC.
Those are the stories I don't
District
know about.
District of Columbia.
Oh, no. Neither does Sy. Neither do I.
What?
That's Cypher's thing.
No, it wasn't Pun. It wasn't Pun.
Oh, it was the other animals.
Yeah. We're in D.C. We're on the...
It's wild terror squad animals.
We're promoting Flex album.
Uh-huh.
So we're in D.C. and Flex brought Pun and them kids that had the song, the Product G&B with Wyclef, mm-hmm. Maria shit. Yeah. They was on his album, too.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Insane Clown Posse was in the same hotel.
No.
Yes.
Sife, you never added that to the story.
I forgot.
You're adding new spice.
He said, nope.
I've never heard
Insane Clown Posse.
Nope.
Insane Clown Posse's in the same hotel. And I'm walking out of my room, and I think it was had to be Sace. Sace comes out of the room sweating. Oh. Like, what happened? Nah, nothing. Triz name. So he goes, you want to go in there? I'm like, no, I don't want to. That's disgusting, yo.
You're sweaty ass?
Yo, he looks dead. He's like, I gotta go get some cigarettes. If you go outside, there's like 10, what do you call them?
A slut.
Juggalos.
Sorry.
Insane Clown Posse.
Juggalos.
They all buy the bus. This nigga walks outside like, what the fuck is this bullshit? I'm like, Sace, I think they're crazy dudes from Detroit.
They are crazy,
like,
though.
Like, you know, like, it's just you and me. Like, keep it down.
You don't
want to
fuck
like,
with this.
The fuck these niggas doing? Yo, these clown shit.
Oh, man.
You got a nice Triz name. You gotta get back.
Go back with your friends and fuck all the girls.
Cypher's like, why you want to fuck it up for?
Don't fuck with these juggalos right now.
But listen to me. Them clown niggas, can I say that?
Yes, you're fine.
I'm a product of my environment. I use the N-word a lot.
You're good.
I'm practicing. Those guys, they put in some work. They not lame dudes.
No, but this is not them. That was outside. It's
their fan club.
Yeah, the fan, like,
no, there's some in there, too.
They're nuts.
A lot of them
are crazy.
I wouldn't fuck around. Why bother?
They take slam dancing to a whole new level. Yeah. They clothesline you. They go crazy.
I know.
What would you have did, Sife, if they just would have said it on Sace right there? What you would have did?
I always do the same thing. I got my line. My line is, y'all gonna fuck us up. But one of y'all is going to the hospital.
Indeed. I like that one.
That's my line.
I like
because
that
Because I'm going to grab one, like, and whatever you're doing to me, you're also going to be doing to him.
Right. They're going to,
And then 9 times out of 10, it's like.
But you'll be mad later. You would have been mad at Sace later, like, yo, bro, I told you had the trizane in there. Like,
out of it. that's just my line, yo.
Okay, so we got to get to the back to the music side of things.
Right.
Come on.
I'm sorry. So let's get to 100%. I mean, how this record came together. This is
that record is trash.
Yeah, it's shit. That's not a good song.
I hate that record.
I don't know how he got off on that.
I hate that record.
That's the thing. It's no one's. Yeah, what is that?
It paid my bills for 15 years, but I hate
that
record.
You know what I'm saying? No, tell us how this classic comes together.
Chauncey played the beat in Pun's house. We were in the Bronx.
But here's what I hate. Real quick.
Sorry, by the way, they're going to kill you for your gum chewing right now. I'm sorry. Right. I'm sorry. I'm going to get the comments if our podcast ever goes up again. Tony, stop chewing your gum. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
I hate when producers find a Spanish sample and make like a Spanish beat and then bring it to the Spanish guy. But
in this case,
we're gonna get to that story
okay,
too.
I like that. Yeah.
I like that you brought that up. That was the first one though. That was the first hip hop Spanish vibe beat that was ever presented to me.
That Spanish, yeah, because Beat Nuts had a couple like Spanish samples,
really?
but not like 100%. That was like a full blown.
That record, that hook that I sang on that record, I've been singing that hook since I was like 8, 9 years old to myself and to
friends and family.
No, that's actually a Hector Lavoe.
Okay.
But I flipped the words,
right.
You know, and then added the Tony Sunshine
shit
to it. Chauncey played the beat in Pun's house in the Bronx. I was joking around, me and Pun, as we always did, and I started singing that hook to it and... You know, Pun kind of said he didn't like the beat. That's how that went.
So right.
Pun reversed it on me on the record. I thought you didn't like the beat.
Right.
But it was actually him.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I don't know.
I love that part.
You know, although he loved it, but he didn't know how, you know, Joe and
right.
the people were going to receive it. And, you know, but when we were in North Carolina, it was like, let's do it. You know, so I laid the hook. And then there was the bridge part. And he was like, what do you think? And I told him, yo, why don't we do the Spanish anthem? You know. Did the Spanish anthem on it, and then he kind of went in there and was just like, "Yo, let's fuck around." So we went in there to talk, and he hit me with that one.
Yeah,
I thought you didn't like the beat.
Hilarious.
I looked at him instantly in the booth.
That's a part of the record where, like, if you listen in the car, you might not hear it, but when you put your headphones on, and you're like, "What's that?" He just said, like, it hits you.
Yeah, then you hear.
I thought you didn't like the beat.
I heard this version. I think Tony Touch played it. With just the bongos and congas and you know, the instruments that we had live instrument players.
Yeah.
After Pun passed away, really, you know, shout out to Sean C. It was actually his idea, and then I just, like, pressed the button, like, hell yeah. So we had actual congas and bongo players and percussionists come in and timbales and play some things. But I've never heard it without none of the other instruments, just those. And Touch played it, and I was like, yo, he didn't want to give me his secret. He was like, you know, I don't know where I got it from. And I looked at him like, come on, bro. Come on, man. You got to at least tell me where you got it from.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was an experience.
So he never performed that record?
We never got to perform the record.
I mean, you have.
Like I said, it paid many times
that I've seen. But
with the TONY record, T-O-N-Y, I mean, 100% is really the record that no matter what time of the year it was when it came out and then for the next 7, 8, 9 years to come, you know. So T-O-N-Y, Grey Goose, and then 100%, those were the three records that the fans really wanted to see, but 100% really, you know what I mean? So
well, that was your official, that was an official record that was huge on radio everywhere.
So that was kind of like a gift and a curse because I love doing the record, but then
super Spanish.
Right. Trying to be a credible R&B singer in a so-called black dominated game, right? it was kind of like a curse because now I got a record deal and all the producers are coming in and they playing me Living La Vida Loca beats every time they come in. You know, and I'm like, I get it. You know, I'm Latino, but like, play me some heat.
She had it going on. Red Bone, fresh out of Bayamon.
Sorry. That was a huge record. And I, you know, I didn't mean that in a negative way.
No,
I'm
know
just
what you're
saying.
It's not, it's not exactly record. Who you were. It's, nah. It's a piece of who you are, nah. But not the whole piece.
It's what I can do. I can do that.
But also, Syph, it also speaks to what, when we get into on this show, remember it came up during the Beat Nuts episode. Being a white guy from Maryland, I do not understand the nuance of being a Spanish rapper from New York and the racial shit with that.
Yeah.
But this record, that record's a great record to point out to. We're like, everyone loved this song, right?
Mm-hmm.
But these years later, the people who probably would go the craziest are huge Pun fans,
right,
and Puerto Ricans.
Mm-hmm.
Like right. That, like, I'm not saying there's not a black audience that would love it, but once you get in deep into it and you're singing the super, the end part, when you're going, it's all, it's Spanish.
Right.
So you will lose some people if they're not about that shit.
Right.
So it is an interesting challenge in that sense.
Right. I don't understand because Latino's been a part of hip-hop since day one.
Oh, you're not, this is gonna, some, you this know, is gonna go forever. This,
I know.
Right, some of the never, greatest, some of the never, greatest breakdancers and graffiti artists, you know, I mean, Jam Master Jay was a Latino, you know what I mean? Like, we could get into that. Yeah, we could get into
What was Jam Master Jay?
Dominican.
Wow. Jam Master Jay?
Indeed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Another gem drop, by the way.
Yeah, there's no, yeah. There's,
I don't want to sound crazy, but, you know, that's what I think I know. And
Fab's
Dominican, I mean.
Or half Dominican, like.
Yeah, yeah.
There's tons of, you know. This Beat Nuts whole episode of, was like a lot of that, of how they
were. Yeah, we talked about that a lot with the Beat Nuts. Because they
shout out to the Beat Nuts, man. Shout out to Juju.
Yeah, they dealt with a lot of that shit when they were getting started. Does the album that the Jive album, Syph, was that the album that people talk about hearing that never came out?
Wait, where was do TONY real quick though?
Okay.
So that's after Pun Pass?
TONY we did after Pun
Pass.
Because
that's when Kool and Dre start coming around.
Right, that's
Joe,
when
Khaled, right, and all that.
Kool and Dre worked with me on about 65-70% of my first album. We got them their first label deal with my album at Jive.
Right.
So, yeah.
TONY was
part of the Jive
TONY
album.
TONY was a mixtape or album?
It was a white
like a
label.
Like a pre-single.
Yeah, it was like a
warm-up
white label.
Single.
When the white labels were hot, you know.
But that record is.
But on Jive.
To this day.
It was Jive.
Yeah.
And before Oh My God.
But it's just, there was no official label pressing, I don't think. I was like, always white label, right?
Yeah, it was white label.
Yeah.
Let's see if Discogs at least has that.
It was white label.
Syph, how big was it?
I mean.
Big in the club?
New York, yeah, like it was a New York joint. It was a New York like banger, like
on Nori on it.
Like, you can't go anywhere Camilo was, it would play. And you know Camilo.
I do know. I know him quite well.
TONY, invade and why multiply.
Okay, so what ends up happening? Why don't these albums come out?
Loud folded.
You had an album on Loud.
Yeah, Loud was actually my first record.
Right, okay, yeah. I remember you had like three deals.
Right, I had way more than that, but we'll get to that later.
All right, so
I'm buying this right now.
Thank you,
sir. It's going to cost me a total of $9.91, and it's coming from Europe.
It's vinyl?
The vinyl for TONY 12-inch white label. It has TONY Clean Mix, TONY Remix featuring CNN Clean, My Life Clean, TONY Street Mix, TONY Remix Street Mix, and My Life Street Mix.
Nice.
Thank you. All right, continue, sorry.
So you had a deal Loud.
Right.
Then they kind of went away.
They went away.
So you had a full, did you record like an album?
Yeah, I had an actual album. I think some of the records that we recorded over at Loud, we kind of incorporated on the album.
Right,
with
kept
Jive
the
because they were timeless records, mm-hmm. and we felt like it was popping. Nobody was doing that. I think there was a lot of politics going on at Jive as well. You know what I mean? And behind the scenes, and a lot of egos, and things like that. And what I was told was they didn't know what to do with me because I was Latino, but I didn't hear it direct from the label. Or,
what does that mean?
Or, you know, I never understand that. I heard it from my people and in my company. Yeah. I didn't hear it from the direct horse's mouth. So, you know, that's always been the situation, you know. Jive, they don't know what to do with him because he's Latino. You know, Universal, they don't know what to do with him because he's Latino. Epic, they don't know what to do with him because he's Latino.
But they sign you.
On the spot. Like, they go, Donnie Einer, I came in, he told me he was a fan. I did a showcase for almost the whole building over at Sony. You know, he said, call your lawyer. Yeah, we're doing it. Let's get it. We signed. I go to California. The album is getting mixed and mastered, and I get a phone call. You know, I don't want to get into the phone call. It was, you know, just.
Well, don't get into it, but just tell us what was said on there. Tell us everything that was said on the phone
call. Yeah, we don't have to get into the whole thing.
Some words were thrown around at some really important people that had my life in their hands. And you know, their reply was kind of like, yeah, we got your guy here. And, you know, the other reply was, well, I don't give a fuck. He'll get signed somewhere else. And, you know, I that's the story I got, and that's what I know. So that's what I go with. You know,
so right now you just dropped a record with Chris Rivers, Big Fun Son, who I love, is a great kid.
Right. Great kid, man. Awesome. His mom did an awesome job with him.
Yeah. He's a phenomenal young man. And you're just putting out music on your own right now and just heating things up.
We're doing the independent thing. I'm being managed by Lizzie Grubman. Rob Love is doing the radio and they're doing a phenomenal job on just getting me out there and putting me back to work. Shout out to them. And yeah, we just recording. I got about two EPs recorded.
What's the Chris Rivers record called again?
It's called Danger.
Danger, right. It's a dope record.
It's called Danger, yeah. Yeah, I'm blessed to have him on the record.
Well, it's a good thing for him too, because Chris needs to get some cool features and stuff too.
Right.
He's amazing. But he somehow hovered under the radar. He started young. When I first met him and he was first doing records, I mean,
Wait, how young was he?
He was a baby.
When you met him. No, but I'm
talking about. Oh, okay.
When you met him.
I mean.
Because I met him.
When he was like 5 years old.
Come on.
No, not that. I'm just saying.
This guy
recording.
You met him recording.
When he had a group with Benzino's son.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And was it Eazy-E's son? No, it wasn't Eazy.
No, there was Benzino's son, Pun's son, and then there was one more.
He's got it?
Oh, baby, I like it, bro.
Lil Durdy's son.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, baby, I like it, bro. Shit. Yeah.
And it was like...
Lil Durdy.
What was it called? Like, I forgot the name of the group.
Three.
And Benzino took me to the studio, and I was like, what the fuck is happening here?
Didn't work out.
It didn't work out. But it was cool, like...
Cool idea.
Yeah, it was cool. Definitely a cool idea.
But then when I met him at like 18, 19, whatever he was, really talented, but it was rough, you know? Like, so he's getting there.
I mean,
and putting together the package. But he's phenomenal. His talent's amazing.
And shout out to them, man. They've come a long way through their trials and tribulations. They're doing awesome. All three of them. All Pun's kids are doing great. Liza's come a long way. She's doing her thing. And, you know... I think he's going to get better with time and growth.
But the natural skills, his chops are there.
He's great. And his thing also is, you know, he doesn't want to be acknowledged. He acknowledges that Pun is his dad. He loves his dad. He looks up to his dad as far as the music goes. But he wants to be his own man. He doesn't want to be viewed as Pun's son, you know. And you got to respect that. He wants to be his own artist. He doesn't want to be taken serious because he's Pun's son. He wants to be taken serious because he's talented. You know, I think the voice similarities are there, but I think he's trying to build his own pattern and do his own thing, and I think that he's doing a phenomenal job.
Do you know that him and Liza, as a gift for me, for my support of Chris, one day he's like, I have something for you for your birthday, and he comes to my house and brings me the biggest frame I've ever seen in life, and I'm like, what is this? And he gave me Pun's full outfit that he wore on Moesha.
Whoa.
The entire... The thing, the outfit weighs 100
Where
pounds.
Where is that? Moesha.
It's
you
in
see
my...
me on the Moesha show with Pun?
You were on the episode too?
I was the one that brought Pun out on stage. I introduced him, and then I'm his hype man on the Moesha show.
It's in my office. It's in our office at work.
Wow.
Because it's huge. I mean,
wait,
it's
what
ginormous.
Do you mean? At the station?
Yeah, like in our morning show office.
That's beautiful.
Because
thing.
I can't, I gotta wait until I move into a bigger house. It's yeah. literally that big. So damn. I need to have my full proper studio so I can display it. So I just hung it in the office at work.
That's crazy.
So, no, it's an amazing gift.
That's beyond amazing.
I know. I was like, I don't even know. I mean, it was just, they're great people. And they've always been very appreciative. So I was glad to see that you're on that record. Now, a question. Did you run into Khaled at Summer Jam?
I sure did.
Because, Syph, it just popped in my head sitting here.
I sure mm-hmm. did.
That you and Khaled should be, like, in communication. How did that go?
He showed me love. Immediately, he showed me immediate love, hug. He asked me if I was going to perform. I told him
you
I didn't
know.
Think so.
I tried my best. But
I said, I don't know, but can I call you? And he said, of course. We exchanged numbers, and we took a flick, and that was that. I let him get to what he was doing, because you know he had a lot of people in the building. Shout out to Khaled for doing big things.
I mean...
His hunger,
you,
his
you've known him. You know him since...
Oh, man, we go back. We go back. He used to argue. He used to go hard for me, too. He used to just get in people's ass. You know how Khaled... the scream.
Well, that's why...
I'm telling you, Tony Sunshine, get him a Rolex. Get him a Phantom. Put him out there. Like, he was crazy with it.
That's why it popped in my head right now is that I could... he's a guy who I could see something. You know, there could be an interesting play there. Yo, have you heard the Khaled Drake records?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah, it's all right.
Oh, I love that record.
You love it?
I love it. I think it's like Khaled's best record.
Talented guy.
That record. Right. You
know? I mean, I like it, but it ain't. I like, there's more better cuts on Drake's album that I like.
On the new Drake album?
I like that he sampled that Akineli joint.
That, okay, you want to?
Which Akineli joint?
Fuck Me For Free?
Oh, not Akineli. Akineli's group, Complexion. That's what that record is.
Oh, that's the Fuck Me For Free? Because yeah. It's not actually Akineli.
No, I'm sorry. It was Akineli. It was his group.
So here's the part that I find weird about that. So when he says on the song, Drake goes, like your man from Compton said, this shit ain't free.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about Kendrick.
Okay.
Because Kendrick has that interlude, Free.
I don't know. Okay.
This dick ain't free. It's like a spoken word shit on the last song. Don't you think it's weird to say your man from Compton about someone who you know personally? Because when he said your man from Compton, I honestly couldn't think of it. I was like, who? Who said? I was like,
I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm saying I think it's
I'm trying to get it.
I think it's a diss.
You think?
But he been dissing Kendrick.
I know, but this is a more obvious one to me.
They got a beef going on?
Not beef. It's like a
lyrical beef. No,
it's a Cold War. It's more like a Cold War.
I don't give a fuck about either one of them, and I know that there's something there.
What does that mean, Cold War?
Like the U.S. and Russia had the Cold War. It wasn't an active war, but like. They just, it's not good. Like, it's just not good. And him saying that you're like your man from Compton said, so I'm literally like, who was he talking about? And then someone was like, Kendrick. Caswell was like, Kendrick, the song
Free. Let me ask you, if you allow me to ask you a question.
Please. Tony Sunshine, ask whatever the fuck you want.
Puerto Rican guy already stole our podcast, Shine, so might as well have another one.
That's a good point. They're all coming for it.
Drake or Kendrick Lamar?
Oh, that's, I'm a huge Kendrick fan.
He's Kendrick Lamar.
I'm a Kendrick stan.
Now, Drake, Kendrick Lamar.
For me, what I do, Drake.
For what you do.
What do you do?
More DJ's parties. Yeah. I love Kendrick.
Well, listen, if you said Rosenberg, choose who's...
Because I know what he does at the parties. I don't know if he meant, like, what I do when I'm talking to girls.
Well, that's
or
the thing,
how
like...
I whisper. You know. I whisper half the verse and then I rap the end. Like,
no, like for me...
I like Drake. Well, Kendrick all the way.
Yeah, I mean, if you told me you need to bring one of their music to the club, I would say I'm going to bring my Drake crate. If you said you're going to be stuck on a desert island with a couple albums for the rest of your life, I'm picking the Kendrick albums before any Drake albums. I love even the Kendrick bonus album he just put out. Shit is fucking awesome, too.
I think because I'm an R&B dude and you know, I talk about similar things sometimes, I think I just gravitate towards Kendrick because he's different and lyrical and he's young and his sound is just like things he's talking about are like real life shit that I could relate to sometimes.
Needs to be talked about.
You're not right.
Pun would have fucked with Kendrick, I think.
Pun would have fucked with Kendrick all day.
Yo,
he would have fucked with J. Cole too though.
What about Eminem and Pun, man? Was there ever did they miss each other completely?
No. Pun actually judged a rap battle that Eminem was in.
Oh my gosh.
And no. They spoke, and they, you know, Pun actually gave him his props and said that he was dope, and I think they had brief words. I remember Pun talking
this
about
is
early, it.
So this must have been early.
So I remember Pun die? I remember we was in California.
Pun
in
died 7? In 2000.
Yeah.
Oh, two.
So I remember
he came
us,
out in 97.
Oh, I see. 2000.
I remember when Eminem's first album came out, we were in California in Beverly Hills. Pun had a mansion out there, and nice. We were listening to that in the pool. And Pun kept saying it. Like, Pun kept saying, like, yo, we hosted this dude's rap battle. Like, he gave us his music. Like, this dude is crazy. Like, he was bigging him up.
We're not going, I'm not going to ask. I think we've come to a point in this show where I feel bad asking for any stories about Dirt. I don't know why. Like, I'm just a bit
about
of a pussy. Dirt. So I'm like a bit of a pussy. But
Dirt?
Dirt.
What you know, like, Dirt. Dirt. Like,
ask Dirt on Dirt.
This. Oh, Dirt, yeah.
But,
I mean, that's what Nori would do.
I know, Nori would
Nori
go right
would,
for the Dirt.
Nori would go in.
Yo, fine, here's the Nori version. Yo, what the fuck happened between Big Pun and Jay-Z? Because Fat Joe and Jay-Z have problems for 20 years? That was the Nori version of asking
good.
That question. Is there anything you can say without saying everything? Because I don't want to, like, create some huge fuss, but at the same time, I feel obligated to ask because we do unearth the old stories of hip-hop lore. That's sort of what we do. Tony's thinking strategically. He's looking off to his left.
Yeah, that's
son,
just,
it's
that.
Already, it's over. Fat Joe and Jay got a record together. What we just need to know what
my
happened.
My thing is this. I stick, you know, there's certain rules and there's certain things that I live by. You know what I'm saying?
So
and
did someone ask you never to tell the story?
Huh?
Someone asked you to never tell the story?
The story's just been told so many different ways. You know what I mean?
Were you there for whatever the story is?
My shit is just going to add on to the story, and it's just going to be part of, you know, so-called rumors. Yeah, so it just don't make no sense for
me
to talk about
that. Okay, so we don't need to tell the whole story. But the issue is between Pun and Jay, is that correct?
Yeah.
It wasn't originally a Joe thing. It was a Pun and Jay thing.
It was a Pun and Jay thing. Actually, it wasn't really a Pun thing. It was a member of the Entourage who was promoting that club that night.
Okay.
And I think that Jay and them came through with about 1,000 people. And the promoter, he was kind of drunk himself. And he politely said, though, you know, Jay plus five, Bleak plus five, and whoever plus five. And I think that somebody took it upon himself to snuff that man while Pun was standing there and didn't understand what was about to happen.
Got it.
And we'll just leave that there.
This sounds like Benny Blanco showing up to the club, and then Pun was sort of in the role of Al Pacino in this situation. All right, so that is where the origin of the story comes from. See, I've never heard a clean version of what it is. Tony Sunshine, I am happy you're back on the scene.
Thank you so much, man. It's a pleasure. Thank you for having
me. You still look
me.
26 years old.
Yay.
I don't know how it's possible. You now a married man with a family.
Water push-ups. You know.
It's working well.
Push-ups are mad annoying.
I know. Every once in a while I see your stupid fitness post about it.
They're the worst. I should be in better shape right now with all the push-ups that I say I do. I mean, sometimes they just get harder and harder. I do lazy push-ups.
Deal, man.
Then I'll do 2 days where I won't work out, and then, you know, I'll drink some soda.
Shit. This is why they're shit, because you get, like, when I was the healthiest I've ever been, like, 2-3 years ago, and I could knock out, like, 50 straight pretty easily, which I know isn't that much, but for me, 50 straight felt good. You stop for, like, a week and a half.
It's done.
You come back, and you get through 10, and you're like, what the fuck? There's no muscle memory?
Yeah, at all.
I'm starting again?
The push-ups, you used to do 50, 40, whatever, and then...
Oh, we used to do it. We had periods where we did them at the station together.
Yeah.
And we bang out 40. Wouldn't be that big a deal. You stop.
Yo, when I was younger, I'm talking about I was already Tony Sunshine. Like, you couldn't tell me after 25, 30 push-ups I wasn't swole. You couldn't tell me.
Yo, you feel like you're like, damn.
Yeah, you feel swole.
You're like, I did
something
tell
me
now.
I get down, do 30, and get up. I'm talking about with a belly and all that fat, nigga. Like, talking about,
I feel pretty good right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I could lift myself. Hey, man. Tony, thank you for doing this, man.
No, the pleasure is mine, man. I really appreciate it.
Keep us
did Pun, did Pun ever say anything about me?
Do you remember Pun ever saying anything
about me? I love Sife, though. He did.
He did. You saw it.
Yeah.
Okay. He treated him respectfully.
Did he say anything cool?
What about the time? Did he tell you about the time that he stuck the gun in Sife's stomach and said, drink?
Oh, were you there that night?
See, Tony wouldn't even speak on a story like that, Syfe. You're such a snitch.
You're not allowed because
it involves something illegal. But yeah, Syfe is Square, so Syfe has told that story before. It's a very funny story. Because you know Syfe doesn't drink. So someone bullying Syfe into drinking.
Alcohol sponsors, I drink.
Oh, I'm sorry. Syfe drinks on very special occasions. Only the finest of alcohols. Tony, thank you, man.
Thank you, bro.
All right, peace.